This is Dish and Dirt with Gary Pickren, South Carolina's only podcast dedicated to the real estate agent craft. And now, the host of Dish and Dirt, Gary Pickren.
And greetings and welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Dish and Dirt. I'm your often opinionated but rarely wrong, if ever wrong, host, Gary Pickren, coming to you from the beautiful offices of Blair Cato Pickren Castline, which, by the way, now are in Camden, Chapin, Lexington, Columbia, Greenville, and Spartanburg. Yes, that's right, six offices. And this is the third week of May 2023. It's just another week or so, and we'll be right into the summertime selling season. And another great show for you today. I recorded this podcast a few months ago with my friend Sarah Hash, who has been on Dish and Dirt before back in January of 2022. That episode was called The Top 5 Reels Every Agent Should Be Doing Right Now. And that episode, believe it or not, remains one of the top 15 listened to podcasts for Dish and Dirt. Now, that's saying a lot, because keep in mind, I have done 127 episodes, so she's top 15 out of 127. So that shows you how good that podcast was back then. Well, Sarah has come back to our podcast, Dish and Dirt, this week to discuss social media pollution, how your message is getting lost in all of the pollution of social media, how to try to break through that pollution, some of the good ideas. And I tell you, there were several aha moments that I had in this interview when she said stuff. I was literally just shaking my head going, yep, that's 100% right. So I know you're going to enjoy it, but more importantly, I know you're going to get something very valuable out of it. Now, before we get started, it's time to renew license. So do not forget, you need to complete your CE and MCE classes for this June 2023 renewal cycle, because it is quickly coming upon us. I am still teaching classes through the Central Carolina Realtors Association. Those classes are quickly also coming to an end. We have only one ethics class left, I believe, and I think maybe two or three classes that teach the core MCE class, which is a really good class on disclosure. And I think that's about the same for the two-hour contract class. I think I might only have one or two of those left. We actually added another ethics class because we had so many people at the last class and people trying to add in at the last minute that CCRA actually called me afterwards and said, hey, would you teach one more class? Because we literally had 300 agents in that Zoom class. So my point is this. If you want to get your education in now and you want to get it in for free if you're a CCRA member, you need to go to the CCRA's website ASAP, check out their calendar for all remaining classes, and quickly sign up before that class is full. Once they hit that 300 number, I think that's about all they can do. You don't want to miss out, because once these classes are over, we're simply not going to have time to add any more classes. I think we're down to, what, 5 weeks or so left before your renewal cycle's over. Already have classes scheduled, and we're not going to be teaching classes up until the minute it's over. Once we finish the classes, then that's all we're going to do. Don't email me. Don't call me about them. I've said this a million times. I don't know anything about them. I just teach the classes. The Central Carolina Realtors Association, they're the ones who organize the classes, they schedule the classes, they run the classes, they do all the paperwork on that. So if you need any information about the classes, get with the guys over at CCRA, particularly Jackie. I think he's the one who's running it. And remember, if you've already taken the class and you're trying to find out where your certificate is, they don't give certificates anymore. That's like 1999-ish. They now just upload everything to CE Broker. So if you don't know whether you've taken a class, you don't know whether you've gotten credit for the class, simply go into CE Broker and double check your information there. Everything you need to know about your education, whether you've taken a class and all your credits and all that, is in CE Broker. So go there before you call over to CCRA. Most of your questions can be simply answered by looking in there. So be sure to do that. I personally have none of your information here. I don't even know the names of the people who take the class. I don't even get a list of that. I turn the class on a few minutes beforehand and I see 300 of your beautiful faces. And then I teach the class, and then I'm done. So just check with CCRA, but don't hesitate. You've got to get these classes in by June 30th. Now, once you finish your classes, you're going to need to go on and renew your license online and pay your renewal fee. There is no fingerprinting this year. You only have to do that every couple of cycles. I think it's like every 5 years. So this is not a renewal cycle that requires the fingerprinting. So you're good on that, because you probably did your fingerprinting like 2 years ago, and you don't have to do it every 2 years. Be sure to confirm that your application did go through when you go complete it and that the payment was accepted. If you're timed out or you lose connectivity, your application may appear to go through and not go through, and your license might not get renewed. And as of June 30th, if you don't have the renewal and you continue to practice, you are practicing without a license, which is something you, in fact, can get in trouble for. Also, brokers in charge. You need right now to be running a list of every single agent that you supervise that needs renewal in 2023. And you need to remind each one of those agents of their obligation to renew by the end of June 2023. Have them confirm before June 30th that they, in fact, have renewed. And personally, if I were you, I would ask them to send you the confirmation once they go through the renewal process. You'll get a little email, tell them to send it back to you. It would also probably be a good idea to have your admin start now with that list and go on to LLR's website, do a licensee lookup, and type in that agent's name and confirm that their license has been renewed through June 30th, 2025. If it says their license expires June 30th, 2023, then you need to do a little bit more research, make sure they, in fact, have taken the classes, get them to show confirmation. It does take a couple of weeks for them to get all that information up to date at LLR, but it doesn't take that long. So by mid-July, if they're still showing is not renewed, then you'll probably have a problem on your hand that you're going to have to try to figure out. Understand, it is the broker in charge's duty to ensure that the licensee renews their license every single year. And yes, you can and will be disciplined if you fail in that manner. All right, so enough of that. So let's go ahead and get started with our show today. We're going to start back with Sarah, who is now with Caddick Title Insurance. She's their marketing and technology advisor, and she's back to really go over some awesome stuff. So let's go ahead and join back in with Sarah. So Sarah and I have been talking recently about social media, and we were lamenting about how I just sometimes can't get the traction that I need on some of my posts. And we're talking about algorithms and all kind of crazy stuff like that. And she was giving me some strategies. And one of the strategies she was talking a lot about was storytelling to increase engagement on Facebook and Instagram. Things are changing at Facebook and Instagram, and maybe not in the best way for all of us guys in real estate. So I asked her to come back on Dish and Dirt to share with you guys some very helpful information on how to get ahead on Facebook and Instagram, and some a little bit about these Instagram algorithms and stuff and how that's going to have been changed, and that's going to change what we do. People aren't seeing you. People aren't seeing what you're doing on Instagram. They're not seeing what you're doing on Facebook. You're not getting in front of the people you need to be getting in front of. Sarah's back with us today to kind of help us figure all this crap out. So thanks for coming back, Sarah.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate being invited back, Gary.
Well, you did so good the last time. You know, we got a good guest. We want to keep bothering you and making you come back on. So interaction is dropping off on Facebook and Instagram. We're seeing the numbers go down. Why is that? What the heck is going on with these two platforms?
Well, interaction is dropping off for a particular group of people. And I would say it's about 80% of people. And interaction is dropping off for them because they're not doing enough video. And the attention has gone to Reels and to TikTok. And so people are spending all their attention over there. And if you're not putting out Reels and TikToks, or you're not doing any video of any kind, you're completely seeing a complete drop off in your interaction on social media.
Well, let me ask you this. So when I post on Instagram and I post on Facebook, I do video, as you know. But mine just goes straight into the newsfeed. I don't post them on Reels. Is that a problem for me? Should I be posting those in Reels as well?
So it depends on what your video is. So unfortunately, a lot of the interaction that is happening on Reels, people are wanting to be entertained, right?
Right.
And people are, and I think I mentioned this in the last podcast, people are jeopardizing their integrity, trying to go viral. So unfortunately, we're giving attention to that kind of video because it's funny, it's entertaining. The unfortunate part of that is it's taking away from people who are trying to be seen and heard for their business. However, because 82% of content consumed is video, we still have the opportunity to put out things that aren't jeopardizing our integrity, things that are of value. You know, the art of sales is helping other people. So how can we help other people in a video? We can do that by posting things that are of value, things that are helping educate buyers, things that are helping educate sellers, things that are talking about home ownership repairs, and or market activity. Market activity is huge. I mentioned that in the last podcast. So educating people and having people learn to look to you as the real estate expert. So if you can position yourself as the expert in all things providing value in the real estate world, and you can do that via video, you're going to fix your algorithm problem.
So with Facebook and Instagram, did they change this algorithm? Or is this just kind of happened as a result of people saying, I'm tired of looking at news feeds? And I have to be honest with you, I only looked at news feeds for a long time, but now I do see myself migrating to the stories or to the reels. And I never had done that because I've always thought TikTok was kind of stupid, but I don't find it stupid on Instagram, which is kind of funny because it's really the same thing.
Right. The problem is there's too much pollution. There's too many places to put too much content. There's stories, there's the news feed, there's groups, there's sponsored ads, there's reels, there's TikTok, there's Snapchat. We have too many places to go.
Yeah,
and
do.
The problem is now with Facebook bringing reels into Facebook, that's just one more place that's polluting what we've been doing and what we've been accustomed to. And so going back to, if you're not doing video, you're not going to be seen. Eventually, people just aren't going to see your stuff. And another thing is helping to be seen means to spend time seeing other people. So engaging and interacting with other people. I always tell people that the algorithm is somewhat like the spirit of reciprocity. What you put out there, you get back. So you need to spend time actively engaging with the people that you want to see your stuff.
So that's something I do want to talk a little bit about. I don't really want to get too much in the algorithm because I know it's changed and nobody really understands it right now. But first of all, I think it's important to understand, and correct me if I'm wrong here, is if you and I are friends on social media, Facebook or Instagram, and you post something, there's not a guarantee that I will see it and vice versa. So why is that? What's happening there that's causing this?
Pollution is happening when you go through the news feed. In fact, they just put stories in the news feed. So now you don't even have to go to stories and roll through the stories. Stories are now in the news feed. So they're trying to get people to spend more time on the platform. How do they get people to spend more time on the platform? By sucking them into the black hole of watching videos. Right. So whatever is getting the most attention as a whole is what they're putting in the newsfeed for you to see. So again, if you're not doing video, you're not falling in line with their algorithm of you're getting a lot of attention. But the less attention you get, the less attention you get.
Well, you know, that's interesting because we have some law clerks in our office that are younger. They're law students, so they're in their 20s. And I talked to them about TikTok and they're like, yeah, you know, I usually spend an hour or so at night watching TV, just flipping through the videos. And I'm like, what a complete waste of an hour or two. People aren't flipping through Facebook anymore, reading what people post. People don't want to read it. They want to see a video about it. So it does have a tremendous effect. In fact, I think I read something the other day on the internet that when you post something, less than, was it 10 or 15% of your friends that actually follow you actually see it?
Correct. That's correct.
So unless you're paying to boost everything you post, a lot of what you're doing is not getting seen unless you're creating videos that people want to see and interact. Now, the second aspect of what you just said I thought was very important, too, is, and we've never done this at this firm, and now we've already started talking about this, is it's one thing to have the Instagram and Facebook and post stuff on it. But if you're not going on and liking other people's stuff and commenting on it, it's really not doing you any good.
It's not that it's not doing you any good. But you're going to, if so, it's, there's two elements. You need to be doing more video,
right?
And you need to be engaging more.
Okay.
So putting those two elements together are going to help you.
So we've talked a little bit about the problem now with Facebook is there's so much pollution and it's hard to get seen. So I guess the big question that every realtor listening to this podcast now has is, well, how the hell do I get seen? If you're telling me there's pollution everywhere and everything's all over the place and it's kind of a mess now, what do I do? Do I just give up or do I do something different?
You keep going.
Okay.
So I have realtors tell me all the time, Sarah, I tried posting videos. I only got 40 views on my video. No one saw it. Do another one. What if that doesn't work? Do another one. So just in a week, in 1 week's time, I've posted three videos, and they're not reels. So I started, actually, now Instagram has something called series. So you can create a series of videos. So I've got a series started. It's called Car Thoughts. I like to record video in my car because I'm driving, but I'm not looking at the camera, and I don't have the distraction of, you know, my dogs or work or anything going on. And I just record my thoughts, and then I cut the good stuff and I post it.
Right.
But I've seen in the last week, my views almost triple on those three videos. So it's consistency, right? So we're posting video, and when we're posting things of value, of things that people are entertained by, or they're educated by, or they feel some sort of connection to you, they're going to keep looking for those videos. They're going to keep watching them. And the more they keep watching them, the more Instagram and Facebook are going to tell people that, hey, she's got a new video up. And they're going to go see it.
I believe it was the real estate marketing dude's name is Mike Cuevas. And he talks about storytelling and the ability to sell without selling. Because I know that, you know, what I do as a real estate attorney, I can sell to real estate agents. They aren't going to necessarily watch me in social media to see what favorite beer I drink. But what they will do is look at my education pieces, because when a real estate agent's engaging with a real estate attorney, they want to get a thing of value. I think that's different, though, for real estate agents engaging with the consumer public. I think if they constantly just hit them over the head with education, 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 they're never showing that personal side of who they are. And we know in marketing and sales that people want to connect with you on a personal level. That's why they like to work with people they like. Do you agree with that?
I do. In fact, I believe that about 20% of a real estate agent's videos or posts that they make should be business, and the other 80% should be personal. And what that does is people like people. People want to know people. Video builds trust. So the fastest way to build trust is to post those videos that are personal. That, and I'm not talking personal like, woe is me, my girlfriend broke up with me, life is horrible. Not personal like that, but personal in, hey guys, I'm out here watching my kid's soccer game and he just scored his first goal and I'm so proud of him. And, you know, hey, if you guys could just leave me a comment here so I can show him later when the game's over, he would just love that, right? So not only did we get personal, but we put a call to action in there that makes people feel good about helping cheer their kid on. Guess what else that did? It boosted you in the algorithm, because the call to action gets people to comment.
And I would add, do not, when you do personal stuff, because I totally believe in personal. Every time I go on vacation, we always post videos from where we go, because those videos actually do better than any other videos we have. But don't talk politics. You're trying to appeal to the largest mass of people. And if you're going to start posting politics stuff and things of that nature, you're going to piss off half the people. So be very careful with that. But I do 100% believe you got to go personal, because people do want to work with people they have something in common with. I know you're a big Jeep person. Is that right?
I am a big Jeep person.
So my son has a Jeep too. And so that's something that we have in common. So I know every time I talk with Sarah, we can talk about our Jeeps. And that's something that now we have in common that wants us to makes us want to work together more and talk about things that we share. So tell me about the power of storytelling.
So the power of storytelling, and I'll actually just go ahead and tell a story. So I was driving over to Orlando, and I recorded this in my car thoughts, but I was driving over to Orlando to do a video marketing presentation, and it's cold and half of my clothes are packed. So I don't have a lot to wear right now because my house is under contract. And I'm thinking, do I wear the brown boots or the black boots, the tall boots? Do I wear the burgundy pants? Do I wear a sweater? Do I wear a business coat? And it dawns on me, who cares what I'm wearing? No one cares what I'm wearing. They care about the message that I have to deliver, right?
Right.
So, and then it sort of triggered this thought where about 7 years ago, I saw a national real estate trainer do a presentation at Mortgage Bankers Association. And she was talking about how when she was in her 20s, her her manager told her to get out on stage and, you know, give her presentation. And she's like, my palms are sweaty and I'm shaking. And she's like, I just don't think I can do this. And he said, put your dang ego aside and get out there and give this presentation. You're going to miss an opportunity to share with that audience the value that you have to share with them because of your ego. And she's like, I don't have an ego. I'm just shy. And he said, no, it's your ego. You're so worried about what other people think of you that you're going to miss this opportunity. And so I'm thinking about this in giving my video presentation, because it's the same reason that people don't get on video. It's the same reason they're afraid of what people are going to say about them. They're afraid of what people are thinking of them. Is my outfit okay? Is my hair okay? Is my makeup perfect? None of that matters. What matters is the message that we have to give. And so when I told that story, the audience is nodding their head and their eyes are getting big. And they're like, yeah, I do need to put my ego aside. So when you're storytelling and it's relatable to everyone, I mean, literally everyone can relate to that kind of story, because public speaking is one of the hardest things you can do, as is putting video out there. So when you tell a relatable story, now people are like, she struggles with what I struggle with. She goes through what I go through. She's human too.
Right.
Hey, guess
human,
what?
Human's the key word.
We're relatable. And hey, I really like her for having the courage to do that. And I love that woman. That woman that I saw do that presentation 7 years ago, she changed my life. So she gave me the courage to get up on stage. So when we're putting that kind of information out there and we're telling those types of stories that people can relate to, we're going to impact them in a way that adds value and that builds trust. And they're going to keep coming back and watching more of our videos.
And everybody's life's a story. It's not like I have to sit around and come up with all these stories and make these things up. Everything you do as a real estate agent every single day of your life is a story. And I'll give an example. I teach continual education, as most of you guys listening know. And when I give an example, I can sit here and say, as a real estate agent, the code of ethics says you can't do this. Now, how effective is that versus me giving you a story that I've actually seen? And one of the stories, and I'll give you an example of that, is that, you know, I talk about how real estate agents need to get out of the way sometimes. You need to do what is best for your client and not what's best for you. And I give the story of two great real estate agents sitting there arguing at the closing over a $15 repair, to which the buyer finally just pulls out a checkbook, writes the check, and hands it to the buyer on this $1 million house. At the end of the closing, the two agents leave. They shake hands and they pat each other on the back about what great job they did fighting for their clients. But the client tore up the check and handed it back and says, I have no idea why she brought that up. I didn't care. And so that story actually shows value, and actually you can visualize this happening in front of you versus me just saying, don't make an argument that your client doesn't care about. It doesn't have the same power storytelling does. And I think storytelling does two things for us. It can help educate by giving examples, but it also makes you a person, makes you human, as you were talking about earlier.
Can I throw a caution to storytelling?
Absolutely.
As real estate professionals, when we are storytelling, we are not the hero. It is not about us. It is about someone else. You will notice when I tell this story about this woman, she changed my life. She was brave. It wasn't about me. She was the hero. So when we sell a house and we do something amazing for a client, it's not about the amazing thing that we did. It's about their amazing opportunity and their amazing journey and how they're satisfied.
And there lies the number one story that we fail to tell. What we see on social media is just sold. I just sold another house. Who is that all about? That is about you. You right. Sold another house. You got paid another commission. Nobody gives a rat's ass. They don't. I look at right. Those things, and the only thing I look at them for is to see which law firm you close at. And if you didn't close with Blair Cato, I'll make a mental note of, I got to call you and give you crap because you didn't use me for the closing. But what the story should be is, this is my client. They PCS'd in from Fort Hood. They had a weekend to buy a house, and through all of their hard work and giving all their time, they were able to find the house that fits for their family. That's the story. That's a service member moving to Columbia, South Carolina. We relate to that because that's what Columbia Half is service members moving here. That's the story, not you sold something. Who cares?
Right.
What are some other stories that you recommend agents look at? Because I think the why people bought, why people sold, married couple coming together, just had a new child, they're moving up to the bigger house. I think that tells a story that other potential consumers are like, wow, that's my family. I just had a new child. I want a bigger house. What are we missing other than that? I mean, it's that simple.
It is that simple. And, you know, we can tell stories on communities too. We can sell without selling in our storytelling, right? Like Mike, how do you say his last name?
Cuevas.
Like Mike Cuevas says, selling without selling, right? So we can go into a community and walk people through the community, walk them through the dog park on video, talk about the dog park, talk about how your dog, Bingo, loves to run here, plays with this dog, Sophie, take them to the community pool, take them to the community tennis courts, walk them through and talk about different parts of the community that they would relate to. And you can touch on just about everyone. If the local grocery store is less than 2 miles away and you talk about that, you're hitting cooks. If there's a golf course nearby, you're hitting the people who play golf. If there's a tennis court, you hit the people that play tennis. The dog park, you're hitting the dog lovers. You can sell a community to just about everybody in your storytelling in a video.
So you're selling without selling. You're providing value by giving information about the neighborhood. It's not about you. It's about the consumer. It's going on reels, which means people are going to watch it versus some static picture. You're hitting all the boxes to hopefully beat this algorithm that nobody even knows what in the world the algorithm is anymore.
Right.
Well, Sarah, I think you've given us a lot of great information to look at reels. I do think that we need to be accepting the fact that TikTok's a real thing and reels is trying to compete with it. And I can tell you personally that I don't really read anything on Facebook anymore. I just look at videos and pictures. And I think that's where our consumers are. We got to remember that our consumer is not going to be the 60-year-old every time now. We're now looking into this millennial group that has finally decided they want to buy houses. And so we have to start marketing and tech going toward the millennial age group. And this is what they're looking at. They're looking at reels. They're looking at TikTok. They're not just reading static things on Facebook. They're looking for video. So we've got to get on video or we're going to get left behind.
Right. And just so people know, they don't have to be a reel or a TikTok. They should be doing some to get their engagement up.
Right.
But Reels only gives you 60 seconds. So selling a community or telling a buyer's story or a seller's story, that storytelling is generally going to live just in a general video.
So videos, storytelling is the way to go right now.
That's right.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Sarah, for joining us. And we'll have to have you back again this year.
Thank you so much, Gary. I appreciate it.
And that's all the time we have for our show today. I hope you'll like us, share us, and please subscribe to us and tell all the other real estate agents in the world that you know about us and how awesome of a show this is, even if you don't truly believe it. It's just be nice for us. Y'all take care and have a wonderful weekend and see you again next week for another episode of Dish and Dirt.